Now, there's always something new at Pilgrim Camp. I think every year that I come, there's something that's different. There's something that's new. It might be just a little something different, a little something that I recognize. There's probably a lot of new things at camp every year that I just don't see, that I'm not aware of. But one of the things I noticed this year, and I may be wrong, but at least I noticed this, that when I went to the beach, I noticed that now there's a lifeguard that's sitting out there on a surfboard. Is that right? Is that have to be? Is that a law now? Or is just a camp a good thing to do? Yeah, okay. I never noticed that before. I thought, what are they waiting for, waves? It's not going to happen. No big boats are coming by here. No Queen Marys. They're not going to have any waves. But then I recognized real quick, you know what they're looking for? Or waiting for? Or hoping that they're not waiting for? They're waiting for somebody to do something wrong, like, I don't know, jumping upside down or throw other kids in. You can't do that. Don't do that. But they're probably also being very watchful that you don't drown. That wouldn't be a good thing. So they want to watch. I noticed that the lifeguard's sitting on the beach. Now, again, maybe I'm wrong about this. Maybe it's just me. But if I ever say anything to them when they're sitting on, they don't look at me. They just like I'm not there. They answer me, but they don't look at me. Is there something in there? Yes, Brother Ernie. How'd they know it was me? I guess I don't know. But they knew maybe my voice. But they don't look at me. They're looking. I guess that's what they're supposed to do. I guess. I don't know. There's another guy sitting out at the end, or girl, as the case may be, sitting out there in a little chair somewhere, and they got this, they have to identify themselves, I guess. They got this big buoy thing that says lifeguard on it. I know who you are. You don't have to advertise it to everybody. But I guess that also is to help any of you that might not swim very well, or maybe you get hurt in the water or get a cramp, or for some reason you're not able to get out by yourself. Those are the reasons the lifeguards are there. And I'm glad for them myself because, you know, I'm not a very good swimmer. I'm a good faker. I've told you this before. Are the rowboat tests all done? All done? I walked my rowboat test a lot of years ago. You know, I can't swim, but I was tall. And so when it was time for the rowboat test, one of my better friends, his name is Kenneth Ott, and he could swim like a whatever. And I didn't know, and I wanted to swim with him, but I can't go past these ropes. You know, the water in front of the ropes is like up to here on me. What is this? So you got to be able to swim to the raft and back. I can't swim. I don't know if I could swim that far, but I could do this. And I made it most of the way. I guess I maybe a little bit had to, you know, stay above water the last few feet out to the raft and then back again. But when I got midway back, there I was. I did it. And they were all, yes, you can go out to the deep water. You're safe now. Thank the Lord for lifeguards. I didn't need one then. I did need one at one time in the middle of the lake sometimes. Some guy rode off. We were in a boat together, and I guess we shouldn't have done this either, but we jumped out of the boat. And I didn't think he was going to do anything with it, but he thought he was going to be cute, and he started to row away. And there I was in the middle of the lake, and I didn't know who paid him to do this, but when he realized that, I'm not kidding, I need help, and the lifeguards are all sitting watching everybody at the beach, and I'm out there in the middle of the lake. Turn around every once in a while and look. But you know, those people are there because people do drown. And a lot of the times, now again, there are many lifeguards here, and so I'm like preaching to the choir. And I'm the guy that knows nothing about this, but I think sometimes people that are drowning can't even say a word. Either they're in shock or they're just so exhausted from trying to swim. And I don't think that happens in a lake so often, but maybe they get caught in a riptide in the ocean and they can't get out of it. And so they're really in desperate need, but they can't yell, they can't holler. And the lifeguards have to be trained to look because they're in the middle of a deep body of water. They can't get out of, they're stuck and they're going down. You know, sometimes we feel that way in our Christian lives. where can I turn for help? Some of the boys talked about how, and by the way, it's even true of these boys. You know, you can be a hopeful, and this pertains. This is not just for older teenagers or middle-aged people. Old people are not immune, and little kids aren't immune. It affects every one of us. The enemy comes in like a flood. If you don't think that the enemy is interested in a hopeful, you've got another guest coming. He is. He doesn't want the hopeful to go through the hopeful's loving Jesus. He doesn't want the hopeful or the cottager to go home saved. He'll do everything and anything he can to drown that camper or that staff member or that guest or whoever we may be. He doesn't want to help us along the way. He doesn't say, well, you're only sick, so it really doesn't matter. He'll do everything in his power. The enemy comes in like a flood. Now, did you bring your Bibles with you? You did? All right. If you can find the book of Isaiah, it's in the 59th chapter. Now, if you have a King James Version, it's better tonight. I don't know what the ESV says. I'm not particularly fond of the NIV translation with this verse, excepting if you look in the margin. And the margin will say, for all intended purpose, what the King James says. But it's the 59th chapter of Isaiah. And in verse 19, this is what Isaiah writes. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Or, the Spirit of the Lord will put him to flight. When the enemy comes in like a flood. You notice it does not say if the enemy comes in like a flood. It doesn't say perchance the enemy might come in like a flood. When the enemy comes in like a flood. Now we read similar verses to this in many different places in the Bible. And I'm not going to ask you to look to all the references because I don't want to take all the time and keep you here till tomorrow. But the Bible does say in the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus at the end of chapter 7 gave that parable, and he said, if anybody hears these sayings of mine and he keeps them, he's likened unto a man that's built his house upon a what? A rock. And then it says this, when the storm comes, not if, when, because the storm will come. The waves will beat against that house. Yes, the one that found it on the rock. The waves will... Now, what are the waves trying to do to that house? What do you think? Destroy it. Knock it down. The waves don't want the house to stand. The enemy doesn't want the house to stand. And so the enemy will come in like a flood to try to destroy that house. Destroy that life. Not if, but when. And you read that so many times in the Bible. We read this verse in Isaiah 43 the other night. But turn back to Isaiah 43 in the second verse, where Isaiah again says this, and notice the language. It's where we find that with word, if you were here in Watch Rock. But in verse 2, Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, not if you pass through, when you pass through. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be hurt. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord and with you. But when you walk through, when you go through these times in your life, when the storms of life come to try to drown you, there is a lifeguard on duty who's watching. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord, God Almighty, the Lord of hosts, he's with you. He wants to be in you. We've talked about this in Watch Rock. And he wants to lift you above. He wants to pull you out. He wants to cause you to be a survivor. He doesn't want you to be a statistic, a number that succumbed. I did good in the hopefuls. I wasn't so good in my faithfuls and my valiants and my great heart years. And thank God in Natick I did better, but I didn't do so well when I got to Nonantum. And then I didn't come back to camp, but when I was 36, the Lord came. Well, that's wonderful, but there's a better testimony than that. The Lord has helped me every single year of my life since I was a hopeful, all the way through till I'm as old as Sister Hofflander. Jesus Christ has helped me. Oh, there have been storms, have there not, Sister Hofflander? There have been tests. There have been many that come against us. You know, it's unfortunate, the storms that some people have to endure. And it's because some of them are tests that the Lord gives to us to make us stronger. But there are other things where the Lord doesn't want these things. He permits and allows, but He doesn't want. Sometimes kids have to go through divorces in their home, their moms and their dads. Sometimes they come from families, moms and dads don't really love Jesus. There are some families that I'm aware of, I know in our church, where parents are in jail and the children come to church. That's hard. And that's something that beats against that life emotionally and in many other ways. It's difficult. And the Bible says there will be those times in our lives. Storms will hit. The waves will beat against our house. When that happens, the Bible says He wants to be with us. And don't ever think that because it happens, bad things, the enemy tempts, the enemy lures to try to get you to go astray. Don't think that that's, well, I must be not so good, because if I was really a Christian, if I was really a good Christian, I wouldn't have any trials. I wouldn't have any temptations. That's not true. Many times it's because you're a Christian, because you want to go home and keep following the Lord, because you want more about Jesus, and just because of that reason alone, the enemy will come in like a flood. Do you know who the greatest person that I know of who has ever lived was? Who do you think I'm thinking of? The greatest person who ever lived. Yes? Jesus. Jesus. Did the enemy ever come in like a flood against Jesus? Yes. You remember that? Don't go there, but it's in Matthew chapter 4. You probably know the story. Jesus, after He was baptized by John the Baptist, it says that the Spirit drove Him in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And we read that Jesus overcame that temptation. Remember, how did Jesus overcome? God's word, I heard from a lot of different people, and I agree with you, but I don't agree with you, but I do. Do you know what it also says in Matthew 4 that I think is as important, that's often overlooked? There's a little phrase there, it says this, and Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost. Do you have to notice that? Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost, was led or driven by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. How did Jesus know what Bible verses to use? How did Jesus have that wherewithal? Because He's Jesus. He knows everything. He was man. He knew what you know. But that Word of God came to Him. How did He recall that Word of God? Because you don't have to preconceive what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will teach you in that self-same hour what you're to say. And by the Word of God, and Jesus by the Spirit of God, knew the Word of God, and He overcame the temptations that came against Him, that came against His life. You know, the devil wants to steal and to kill and to destroy, but Jesus has come to give life, and that more abundantly. And so we read, if you go all the way to Revelation chapter 12, that because we identify with Jesus, Jesus was tempted to sin. He was in all points tempted as we are. Yet He never sinned. Yet He never sinned. And by the grace of God, I don't ever want to sin. Now, I realize that that's a very bold statement, and I probably won't be able to fulfill that. Excepting if I have Jesus and more about Jesus, and the more about Jesus I know, and the more of Him I have in my life, the more potential I will have to overcome the world and the flesh and the devil. And that's why I need more. And that's why I'm here at Pilgrim Camp. I'm not here at Pilgrim Camp to preach. I do that because That's what I'm supposed to do when I get here. But I'm here to get more of Jesus in my heart and in my life. I'm here because I need Him just as much as everybody and anybody here needs Him. Because I have trials and troubles and temptations. We read in Revelation 12, I think it's the last verse in that chapter, that the devil, there was a fight in heaven, and the devil was cast out, and he realized that he was defeated there, and he comes down to the earth. You know what it says there? He makes war with the church of Jesus Christ, with those who love His testimonies, love the Word of God, who hear the Word of God, who go to pilgrim camp and learn the Word of God. He fights against people like that. He wants to destroy people like that. He comes in like a flood. But thank God, Jesus Christ is victor. Jesus Christ raises up a standard to put the enemy to flight. And it's not my ingenuity, and it's not my prowess or my ability or your smarts or your wealth. It's only by the Spirit of God. They overcome by the Lamb, by the Word of God, by the presence of God, and by the Spirit of God. You know, you have worth to Jesus Christ because He purchased you with His own blood. And because He has done that, the enemy wants to destroy that work. He wants to drown you in that flood. That's the only reason why you're valuable. You know, none of us are valuable. I think, and I don't know if the statistics are still the same, but somebody once figured out that if they were to boil you down, maybe Ingram knows this better than any of us. I don't know. She's a chemical, whatever she is. Your body is worth $3.86. How do you feel now? Cheap. Well, you didn't think you were worth that much, huh? You know, I know. But no, $3, that's not very much. But because you belong to Jesus, you're worth a lot more than that to Him. And you're worth a lot more than that to the enemy. And he would like to destroy you. See, it's who you belong to. I read one time long ago that certain things are being auctioned. There's an auction place in New York called Sotheby's. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but they were auctioning off some famous stuff. And Napoleon's toothbrush. You know Napoleon? The little guy, Bonaparte? Not blown apart, bone apart. Napoleon, his toothbrush. I was going to bring my toothbrush and see how much I could sell it for. I'm not Napoleon, but because of guess how much his toothbrush sold for? Anybody have a guess? Say it loud, Junito.
$12,000,
no. $21,000. I don't know if anybody here bought it. Did you buy it? No, I didn't buy it either. But that was only because it belonged to Napoleon. Your toothbrush isn't worth that. Don't try it. Napoleon's was. But Jackie Onassis, you know who she was? She was the wife of one of our presidents, John F. Kennedy. And she was selling or auctioning off fake pearls. Fake pearls. $215,000 for her fake pearls. Why? Because they belong to Jacqueline Onassis, Jacqueline Kennedy. JFK, John F. Kennedy, President of the United States, was selling his old wooden golf clubs. Wooden golf clubs. They're not worth anything anymore. They're good for nothing, but not if they belong to JFK, they're worth a lot. They auctioned for $750,000. One set of wooden golf clubs. Well, I wish I had those golf clubs and I could auction them. But I don't. My golf clubs, I don't even have any. I couldn't even auction them if I wanted to. And if I put them on an auction, nobody would want them. Because they're mine. You see, when you belong to Jesus, when He buys you and purchases you and you're His, your value goes way up. You become precious to Him. Oh, He loves you. He loves you like a father loves a son or a daughter. He loves you. And you're utmost precious to Him, of value to Him. And because of that, the enemy fights against you. Because the enemy is out to destroy the people of God and the church of Jesus Christ. And you notice in that verse, when it will, the enemy will come in. The enemy will tempt. The enemy will try to in different ways. But when the enemy comes in, and notice the words, like a flood, intensely. Not, you know, not just moseying up to you or casual, but there are times when it's ferocious, it's fierce, it's like a flood. All of a sudden, a lot of you know that a few years ago, Brother Timmy's house was flooded out. Oh, my house too. He lets me live there. And we were flooded out, and it was so fast. We lived near the bay, and before we knew it, now I'm not the only one. There are other people's homes too, and that were many, many. Have you heard of Hurricane or Superstorm Sandy? And before we knew it, I mean, the water began to rise. We saw it coming up in the street, and it got a little high, and boom, before we even had a chance to really, before we even thought of, we better get out of here or do something about this. I was downstairs with Timmy. We were trying to dig a hole in the sand pit that we have so that when the water was coming in, and it was coming in, we thought it would go in this little hole that we were digging. Little did we know that before this was all over, that our whole basement would be filled with water to the very top. That our street would have 8 feet of water in it. You could go swimming across the street, skiing down the block. Fish were swimming down my street from the bay. And it was crazy what was going on. And it happened so fast. Just like a flood. And you know what we noticed? The water came in through every little nook and cranny. I didn't even know I had so many holes in my house. But I could identify every one of them after a little while, until my whole foundation blew out in the front of the house. And when the water came in like a flood through that hole in the foundation, the basement door went, just took care of that real quick. And so fast and so intense. And we couldn't even do anything about it except hope that it would recede sometime soon. When the enemy comes in like a flood. You have any cracks in your foundation? Any holes? Little ones? Larger ones? Crevices? Wherever they may be in your life. Maybe it's something having to do with morals. Maybe you lie a little bit. It may be pornography is a little bit of a problem. It may be some immorality. It doesn't. It's just a little bit. It's all under control. I got this. Don't worry. I can sing more about Jesus, and I can go to camp. The enemy knows exactly how to destroy you. Yeah. And don't say, oh, I'm only a kid. And the enemy knows exactly. I have a kid right now that I know of, and many from our church would know him if I mentioned his name, who didn't come home a few nights ago. He's 13 years old. He's running the streets. He's off the charts. He's lost, and every one of his brothers is in and out of jail repeatedly because the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. The kid should be sitting there in Onanta praising the Lord, but he's far away from God because the enemy came in and came in like a flood. And he was hopeless and helpless without God, without Jesus Christ. You can't allow those little things, guys. I was thankful for what Brian said. You can get most of the eggs out of the pot. You can scrub them out. You can get it pretty clean. Clean, pretty clean is not clean enough. The blood of Jesus needs to cleanse us from all unrighteousness because the enemy knows exactly where you are weak. But where you are weak, the Spirit of the Lord wants to raise up a standard and make you strong. And let the weak say, I am strong. Because of Christ in my life. Because the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard and put the enemy to flight. And it's only by His Spirit. It's not by might, the Lord said. It's not by power. But it's by my Spirit that that mountain is going to be removed. Tonight, maybe you know in your heart, and not just the boys, maybe the staff members. And you know, the older we get, the better we get at learning how to play the game. And we know what ropes to pull and what buttons to push and what phrases to say. The Lord's not impressed with hypocrisy. You can fool me, perhaps, or you think you can, and you probably can. You can fool people, maybe a lot of that. You can never fool the Lord. And you can't fool the enemy. And he knows exactly. He knows exactly where I am weak. He knows exactly where I am vulnerable. And unless I ask Jesus Christ for strength more, I want to scrub the eggs all the way into the corners of the pot. I want to get that all out. Let your body be filled with light. No part darkness, Jesus said. And so I'm thankful tonight. Although there is an adversary, and he goes about seeking whom he may devour, and we can resist him steadfast in the faith by the Spirit of the Lord. And that's why I say, guys, you're not done. You're not finished. Oh, how we need Jesus, and how we need him in our lives and in our hearts every single day, and how we need more and more about Jesus. And he'll bring things by his word to your life. He'll show you things that maybe you're not aware of, but he'll put his finger on something and he'll speak to your heart and he'll say, you know, that's not really right. Oh, but everybody's doing it. But everybody in my school does that. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful where you go. Be careful who you hang around with. Oh, but that'll never bother me. Yes, it will bother you. Bad company, evil communication corrupts good manners. You can't hang around with the wrong crowd and not expect to be affected. No, I'm going to win them all and affect them all. There's a difference between friendship and trying to win them for the Lord and being a light in their presence. So I don't think you should recluse into abject into your house and shut the door and lock it. Get out into the world and be a light. But don't run with the crowd to the excess of riot. You're different. You can't. You belong to Jesus. Oh, but all the boys will make fun of me, or all the kids in school will laugh at me, and they'll call me this. So what? Let them call you whatever they want to. When the enemy comes in like a flood, Jesus, you help me now. You strengthen me now. Let the Holy Spirit of God come into your heart. We were talking this afternoon, some of the guests at Watch Rock, and talking about the Holy Spirit and Pentecost and what it is and what it means. And there's so much it means to a lot of people, kind of weird, strange things. Barking like dogs or doing this or that. Pentecost is Jesus Christ coming to your life to give you overcoming power. That's just number one. There are a lot of other reasons why we need to live in the Spirit and be filled with the Spirit. But it's not so that you can go into orbit. It's not so that you can feel good about yourself. The Holy Ghost has come to help you to live. To help you to live the Christian life. That's why he's called the Paraclete. He comes alongside to help us. There's a way of fighting, of wrestling in Greece. And the Paracletus, it's called. And that would be that you would fight with someone that back to back. You would go in teams and pairs. If Brother Peter was standing with his back towards me and we were fighting an enemy, he would have my back. He would be able to see them coming and I would be able to have his back and see. And it's as if the Holy Spirit were saying to us, I've got your back. I got you covered. But you need me with you. You need me to comfort you, to strengthen you. You need me to help you. You can't do this alone. I must have the Savior with me, for I dare not walk alone. But I'm so thankful again, and I won't keep you any longer, but just to encourage you guys, keep on, keep on, keep on. You're going to go down from the mountain in another week or so, and there will be the temptation, perhaps. There, when the enemy comes in like a flood. Oh, thank God, don't look to yourself and don't think about how special you are and how able you are. Look right to Jesus. Say, Lord, help me, strengthen me unto him who is able to keep me from falling. Unto him who is able to present me faultless before the Father with exceeding joy. So every one of you hopefuls, you need the Holy Spirit of God, and faithfuls, and valiants, and every one of you great hearts, and Natick, and Nonantum, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Every staff member, young staff member, old staff member. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And every guest, everyone in this meeting tonight, we need to be filled with the Spirit of God so that He might raise up a standard against the onslaught of the enemy.